You know what, Tom Parry?
Yes, Matthew Boy.
It's
what?
Pretty bloody warm.
It is. Really is. I'm not a fan of this amount of heat.
No?
No, no.
Sweat literally dripping off you.
I can see it running out from your nose, unless that was...
No, that's something else. Let me just check. Yeah, something else. But you know what's good? Sitting there in your house with a fan.
With a fan.
Playing some video games.
In the dark.
In the dark. Alone. Crying into
if
the fan.
If you're in the dark, you can play Batman then.
You can.
It's not a mad attack.
Hello. Yeah, so other than being ridiculously warm, how are you, Tom Parry?
I feel like taking my clothes off.
You can leave your hat on, though.
I'm all right. Can't complain. I haven't been playing Batman or sitting in the dark.
No?
But I suppose, yes, you could do that if you wanted to hide from the bright light.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to hide in the dark, I mean, I imagine that's going to get quite warm very soon. You know, at least have to open a window and
you're
in Denmark.
Have a window open.
Yeah, but you're in Denmark. It's quite sunny until quite late.
Yeah.
Last night we were at a party. You left at 10:30. Still light.
Yeah.
That's how it goes, Tom. You been playing any games other than your wild party antics in the sun?
Oh, playing games. Yes, I have been. I was playing Rise this morning. Yeah, that this morning I rose to the occasion. I rose out of bed to play Rise.
fighting very hard not to make an erection joke. How is Rise?
How is Rise? Rise is a lot of fun, you know, as long as you don't expect too much. Expect fantastic graphics. Expect fun, simplistic combat.
All the joviality of a centurion in Greek mythology. Is it Greek mythology or is he just killing Romans?
There are some mythological aspects to it.
Good.
But you are a Roman. You're killing savages.
Is that what you do? Is that what it's meant by doing as the Romans do, killing savages? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, you see, in Rise, you play a soldier and you team up with your father at the beginning of the game.
Okay.
Your father is killed. Okay, it happens at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's not.
And this is a 3-year-old game at this point. It was an Xbox One launch title. Admittedly, I don't think a lot of people played it.
And he's killed by these savages, appear to be the British.
Bloody British, yeah.
So you travel to Britannia, as it's called. I don't know my history. Yes.
That's the thing.
To avenge your father's death.
Okay, so the British are the bad guys.
They are so far. But the ironic thing is, your main character is British. He's voiced by
I was going to say, does he have an Italian accent?
No, he has a British accent.
Great.
But it's all very exciting and amazing. These are some of the best. I mean, I was thinking before I stuck this in, is it going to compare with Batman, which is probably previously one of the best looking games I've seen?
Yeah.
Arkham Knight. It delivers. It really does. And it's nice to see these sort of environments as opposed to Batman's bleak, dark cityscapes. You know, these are bright historical architecture and very, very visually satisfying, and also the combat is incredibly satisfying as well. You could argue it is quite simplistic. You've got two attack buttons, you've got a kind of a parry button, and you've got a sort of break button. You can actually some buttons double for different things anyway. So combat involves, if they've got a shield, breaking their guard, fighting them. Always got to mix up your X and Y attacks, otherwise their guard will go back up again. There's a dodge button, so you can roll around and dodge them, as most of these games. If you see somebody attacking you, you can press A and you can parry or repel their attack. And then when they're nearly dead, a lot like Doom, you've got they flash.
Yeah.
Pretty much, and you've got the opportunity to hold down the right trigger, and then the character will flash in a certain colour, yellow or blue. So then you have a little quick time thing, so yellow, blue, and you get a rating for your kill.
Yeah.
Say if it's a really good one and you didn't mess it up or anything, button press, you get like Centurion kill.
Yeah.
Or you get like amateur kill or whatever. Combos are really good in the game as well. So if you keep it going long enough, you can get some bonuses from getting big 50-hit combos yeah. and such. So try and keep the flow going is definitely encouraged. And one of the things I really like about it is choosing your reward for successful execution kills. If you press direction on the D-pad, you can select from health regain, double XP, or more damage.
Yeah.
And then you have to keep going back in the menus and upgrading your character. And it seems very straightforward, especially because I'm playing on recruit mode, which okay. is easy. But very satisfying, and I could say I can compare it to an arcade-like experience.
Okay.
I only slightly concerned if the gameplay is going to become slightly stale after a while, because it is really go from one area to the other and defeat bad guys. Occasionally they mix it up and give you some projectiles. They'll put you on a big crossbow.
Yeah.
You know, or they'll give you spears to throw and things. And hopefully some more enemies, because in the first mission you've got two types of enemies, regular soldiers and big shield guys.
Yeah. So they're bosses?
Not so far. I'm okay. looking forward to some more enemy variety in the next mission. I've travelled to Britain to avenge my father.
Okay.
So all in all, a good experience. I mean, fairly simplistic, I suppose. But if you get it for the right price, I certainly recommend anyone with Xbox One to try this out.
So I was just actually thinking, how much is Rise
I saw it
now?
For 14 quid new on Amazon.
14 quid? I mean, that's not bad.
Mm. I don't think it's the longest game. I was able to complete the game's first two missions in just under an hour. There's 8 missions, I think, in total. So if they go follow the same formula, then you can probably finish the game in, what, 4 hours?
Okay, wow, really that short?
I don't know. That's just me hazarding a guess. Maybe the later missions are longer.
I'll tell you now. I will go to the very popular internet website, howlongtobeat.com.
I was really curious about Rise, being an exclusive as well, and hearing how good-looking it was. Going into it, I was aware that there wasn't... People had talked about not being a lot of depth in the gameplay.
Main story, 6.5 hours, according to
six and a half hours. Okay.
So a little bit longer.
So, yeah, I sort of worked it out.
You did,
reasonably
yeah.
Reasonably well. You can sort of... Exploration is very limited in Rise. You can smash a few pots. You get some bonuses for smashing pots.
Yeah.
There are a few hidden secrets. But really, it's got such a pace to it, at least what I was doing the first couple of missions. You just kind of want to
plow
run
through it.
Plow through it, yeah. Rather satisfying game. Very bloody.
Yeah.
This isn't for kids.
Okay.
Of course it isn't. You chop people's limbs off, heads off. The glory kills, as I'm calling them, based
yes.
off Doom, the executions in this game, are very similar to Doom.
Okay.
You know, it depending on what
head stomps
angle.
And...
Yeah, head stomps are in there, yeah. yeah. And also you can do double execution kills. So if you're in combat with two people, sometimes you get the ability to kind of jump from one to the other and create a very gory kill.
Okay.
Very satisfying.
Okay.
So there you go. I've got a lot of high praise for Rise. Let's see. I'll let you know when I finished it, because this is a game I am going to finish.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, a game you want to finish is generally a mark of quality.
Yeah, sure. But as I say, I don't know if I'll become bored if they don't shake up the enemy types or variety of
yeah.
what you're actually having to do in the levels. As enjoyable as the combat is, can it last 6.5 hours? I'm not sure.
Okay.
Environments have changed now. First two levels were in Rome. This is now in Britain. I don't know how much it's going to jump around, but...
Yeah.
Or even if some mythological beasts might appear later on. I don't know.
Maybe. You never know.
But there's not enough of these Rome-based games. I remember Shadow of Rome on the PS2.
Yeah.
And God of War has some similar themes. And
I was actually going to ask, does it compare to God of War at all in its combat? Or
it's not as open as God of War. The perspective is more of a Resident Evil 4 style,
okay.
Close-in
yeah.
perspective. It's all very close. You don't really... You do get a sense of scale in places, but when you're actually in there in the combat, then it is very close to the
okay.
character. Yeah, but it's beautiful. It really is. I think the cutscenes are slightly more detailed than the main in-game graphics, but there's only such a slight difference. They don't look off.
Okay.
It's a game where the cutscenes pretty much look like the in-game graphics.
Well, that's good. I mean,
because it could go one way and say the in-game stuff looks a bit patchy compared to the cutscenes, but they've struck a balance. It just shows how much you can actually do with in-game
graphics.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. Okay.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Give Rise a go.
As you mentioned, I've been playing a rather adult game as well.
Yeah, Doom. We talked about it last
Doom.
Week, didn't we?
We did. Well, I started Doom last week and I've beaten it.
You
now.
Beat it in a week.
I did, yeah. Well, I mean, I played a bit of Overwatch as well this week. I've had a good couple of hours on that. I've been very much enjoying it. But I've been playing like a mission or two of Doom a night. Like I was saying to you, I think I've beaten it in about 12, maybe 13 hours in total. And I really like it. But it's not my favourite game of the year so far. Like,
no?
I think...
What's the pluses for Doom, then?
The pluses are refreshing pace. You are just running around like large arenas. It's very faithful to Doom while modernising it. I know this is what a lot of people have already said. But, like, the weapons handle really nicely. It feels really good. It's very satisfying to kill things. And the frantic pace... as you witnessed on the last level, especially, like, that's been building very steadily throughout the game, so you prepared for this. There's a good level of progression of madness in terms of how many enemies spawn on you and things, and you learn how to juggle the weapons properly, as you saw when I was playing. I would fire a sniper rifle at something, then I would quickly jump through the air, change my weapon to a shotgun as I landed to take out an imp, then jump backwards with a rocket launcher and fire a Hell Knight. It's all very frantic, and the speed of the game plays very well. The game's menu system of a wheel for guns operates very well within that frame. And
emphasis on ammo and health.
Yes, there is. It's very frantic of you running around trying to do these glory kills to get health and then going, oh shit, now I need to switch to my chainsaw because I need to saw this thing in half, even though it's an easy kill, because I need ammo. And it's it strikes the right balance. Like, the core of Doom is sound. However, like, as much as I kind of appreciated last week, the story was a bit no-nonsense, it does get a bit self-serious, and it doesn't really pay off.
Well, I saw the end of the game.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh... I mean,
yeah, well, it's just a bit
anticlimactic,
like, how's about that, then? And then it ends.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, judging by how much story is in that game, maybe that's not so much a surprise. Does leave yourself open for a sequel, which I imagine, you know, it's been very well received. Hopefully there will be a Doom 2. But
yeah, it gets confusing when you've got multiple games of the same title now.
Especially when you have one already called Final Doom.
Yeah.
And then there was Doom 3, and then there's Doom again.
I wonder what they'll do, whether they'll just give it a subtitle. Doom... Homecoming, Doom Reckoning, Doom...
Probably.
Destruction.
But...
Doom and Gloom.
All in... Doom, Gloom was a game I had for the Amiga, actually, because we didn't have a PC at home. We couldn't get Doom, so we had to have Gloom.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's not very good. It's definitely not a patch on Doom. I grew up playing Gloom and was like, man, this is really bad. And then I played Doom for the Super Nintendo. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
How about Loom?
Loom. I never played Loom, that LucasArts adventure. Yeah,
quite
yeah.
Different from... But we're on the subject.
Gloom, Doom, Loom.
The Holy Trinity.
There could be a game called Zoom as well, right?
Zoom? Yeah, I imagine there is. Zoom
Zumba
Room.
Dance Beat.
There's Zoom Room on the PlayStation 2.
I wonder if Zoom Room is any good.
Is it, Tom? It is. It's very similar to another game I've been playing recently, TTR, Tabletop Racing.
Okay, interesting.
Which was a PlayStation Plus freebie for last month.
I bought it. I didn't play it.
Don't know if it's still available.
I think it is. As at the time of recording, if you listen to this on Sunday when the podcast goes up, you may still be able to get it because Gone Home and NBA 2K16
are coming. Yeah.
No interest in NBA 2K16. I've already beaten Gone Home.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited, especially about Gone Home. I mean, I like a good basketball game as much as the next person.
Well, I mean, it does. It is a Spike Lee joint, if you remember.
Oh,
it has
gosh,
got Spike
got
Lee's career
Spike
mode
Lee's
in it.
Career
which
mode.
I may have to play. I may have to knock it down to
I've
easy.
I've heard that's slightly disappointing.
I feel it's fucking terrible. But we'll see, I guess. But everyone
should
will.
Play a good game of basketball for what I've heard of it. Yeah, but Gone Home for me is definitely the one I'm more interested in. Tabletop Racing, though, to go back. A bit there. I played it multiplayer online. It's really fun. There's a lot of customization available in the game. A lot of unlocks, a lot of cars. It plays very similar to Mario Kart. Imagine Mario Kart with Micro Machines like aesthetic.
Yeah, but not Micro Machines top down, as you
say. No, it's not top down. No, it's like Mario Kart. So, but one thing it does very well is shortcuts.
Yeah.
Shortcuts can be activated by using weapons. For example, there's a bit where some sugar cubes are holding up a ramp. You shoot the sugar cubes, drops the ramp, and you can get up there, and then you can get a coin, which gives you money to upgrade your cars. That is a really cool aspect of it. And the actual gameplay, the racing gameplay, holds up really well. It's very solid. It's very enjoyable multiplayer.
Yeah.
But we're playing two players online, and I think the game would definitely benefit from having more races on the track. It'd make it a little bit more frantic.
Yeah.
But we had a good time, despite only the two of us playing it.
Okay, that's good.
Great freebie. I think one of the best PlayStation Plus freebies we've had in a while. Although the caliber has been very high. I mean, we've had great games available on that service for some time.
Definitely. I mean, Rocket League is the
Rocket
standout.
League, that's standout. Oddworld, New and Tasty was free, wasn't it?
Yeah, Grim Fandango.
Grim Fandango was even free. Even games that I'd already bought ended up being free. I'm glad I didn't buy Gone Home on the Xbox One.
No, because you were tempted.
I was very tempted.
Oh, well, it's okay. Speaking of a game I was going to buy on the Xbox One and then I didn't, is actually Oxenfree, which you also purchased, right?
Yes.
Did you get to give it a go?
No, I haven't yet. No, I don't want to get stuck into the game like that until I've actually played through Firewatch, which I still... I've only done the first day.
You should complete Firewatch, man. Firewatch is not a long game.
No.
It's mainly 3-4 hours.
Yeah, so I think Firewatch and Rise will be my next two to...
To beat. Fair enough. Yeah. I'm looking at finally finishing off The Witcher very soon. I picked up Blood and Wine, the last expansion of The Witcher 3, in a physical box to get the Gwent cards. So I have all of the Gwent cards in real life now, which makes me feel real cool.
I heard that game originally, just the regular game, comes with a lot of stuff in the box.
Yes, it does.
It has a manual.
It has a manual. It has a, like, hey, this is The Witcher. Like, this is all of the story of The Witcher back catalogue in it. It's got a CD, it's got a lovely map.
And that's the standard edition, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the standard edition. They don't fuck around CD Projekt
Red. That's nice.
Red. I actually picked up, I'm not sure if it's still on Steam now, but to celebrate Blood and Wine coming out, Witcher 1 and 2 were both like £1 on Steam, and they're Mac compatible, so I picked both of them up.
You got room for them?
Yeah, I did. Cool. They're not very big games. Like,
oh, really?
Well... Witcher 1 came out in 2010, somewhere around there. I was definitely working still. So it was before I graduated. And then Witcher 2 was only 5-6 years ago, maybe. So, like, they're not very big games, or at least they didn't seem to be when I downloaded them. So,
okay,
yeah, I had
cool.
space.
That's nice.
So I will play them soon.
Eventually.
Hopefully, yeah. I'm looking forward to it, actually. Witcher 1's not supposed to be very long, like 10, 12 hours maybe. And then Witcher 2's a bit longer. I think it's about the 30 mark. But I still care about those characters. I'm still interested to see the story of Geralt.
So you're still into Witcher, despite some of your misgivings you had for it?
Well, I came to terms with it, and then someone told me on Twitter that, hey, actually... they kind of give them carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they wanted in the games, so the games don't really follow the books anyway. So that kind of made me feel a bit better. But no, I still like The Witcher. Like, I still one of my favourite games. If, like I said to you, if I would have played it last year, it would be my game of the year without a shadow of a doubt. Should have got on that hype train sooner, Tom. But I didn't think I'd like it, because, as I mentioned on the podcast, not a fan of Bethesda titles, and I kind of thought it would be in the similar vein to Skyrim, so...
Sure, yeah, you're not a Skyrim fan.
I don't mind Skyrim. Like, I hated Oblivion, which I know is sacrilege to some people, but I just can't get into Elder Scrolls games, or Fallout for that matter. Skyrim seemed like a more accessible version of Oblivion, but still didn't hold
what
my
is
attention.
It about them?
I don't know, it just it feels like it was made for PC. And that's something I can't really shake. Like, if any time I play a first person shooter, like Fear is another one of those games where the way the reticle is and the way it controls doesn't feel like an Xbox game to me. And so I
quite liked Fear.
Yeah,
I've played Fear.
I'm not saying it's a bad game.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't get into playing a game that clearly for me is made to
be that's
on a
what
PC.
I don't know if I really felt with it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Picked up Pang.
Pang.
Pang Adventures.
New Pang, yeah.
And I like this game so much. I did not only picked it up for the PS4, but also for Android as well.
Oh, really?
Because as I was playing it, I was thinking, hang on, this would be perfect. Just a game on the go.
Yes.
So I had to get it on Android. It's a great version of Pang. What can I say? It's really nicely presented. Great visuals. It's done by Pasta Games, which were a small French studio, I think.
Yes.
Who've taken, I think, the original Pang. I'm not sure. Definitely. It's got some really cool boss fights. I don't know were in there. Because I haven't played Pang since the Atari ST. That's when I last played it.
I played a bit of Pang on the Game Boy.
Yeah.
But not enough to tell you how good that version of Pang is.
It's a very accessible, enjoyable game. A great, solid arcade concept.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have the Buster Bros collection as well on PS1 that I should probably dig out and yeah. We can do that and compare. But
yeah, for those not familiar with the game, it's a puzzle, action puzzle.
Yes.
It's an action puzzle game, mate. I know.
No,
you hate that
it's
genre.
An arcade puzzle game.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. is it even a... It is puzzly in some areas, I suppose, because how you... Sometimes the ball... Basically, you've got a harpoon gun, you're shooting balls, and you've got to shoot all the balls. But when you shoot a ball, it splits into smaller balls, and so it can be quite overwhelming. So you've really got to do a lot of dodging around, and sometimes the balls are held back, so you destroy a platform, some balls spill out, you know. Sometimes it's how you... manage the balls.
Yes.
It's all about ball management.
It is all about ball management.
There's various weapons that you can use, like machine guns, and you get a shield at some points as well, because one hit and you're down.
Yes.
These are pretty aggressive balls.
They are aggressive balls.
They're aliens, apparently.
Yeah, that's the story, right?
Yeah, and it has boss fights, this has. I don't know if the old one had.
I can't remember. Like, I've not played enough of the old Pang games.
Yeah.
From what I remember of the Super Nintendo one, it definitely didn't.
Boss fights are cool. Similar concept, but you've got an alien who's throwing the balls out.
Yeah.
And the alien has weak spots. You shoot all the weak spots, and then you have to just take down its brain. A little bit like the end of Doom.
Yes.
And you have three shots on him, and he every time you shoot him, he blobs out some gloop. And so you can get stuck in gloop.
Okay. Is gloop similar to gloom?
Gloop's more like slime.
Okay.
I didn't say slime, I don't know.
So you're saying there's gloop coming from these balls?
Oh my, it's all getting very nasty.
It
now,
is,
isn't
it's
it?
Grim. Yeah.
Great game for all the family. That's Pang Adventures. available on just about everything under the sun.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah. Well, home consoles, not Wii, to my knowledge. Another game that would be good on Wii that's just come out recently is Downwell.
Yes, Downwell.
Wouldn't that be good on the gamepad?
It would be good on anything.
Yeah. Which is, we've proven, I've been playing it on Android, you've been playing it just then on PS4.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to get it on Steam because I'd heard that end game stuff with the boss is better with a controller, so I was like, well, I'll hold off on not getting it for my iPhone, I'll get it with the controller and play it on Steam, and then I didn't, and then you told me, oh, it's out on PS4 now, so I was like, goody.
And Vita, although apparently the Vita version doesn't have a vertical rotate.
That's sad.
Yet. Although the developers have shown them playing it vertically, so okay. I think it's going to be an update.
That's good.
Yeah. Because that's perfect, because you've got all the buttons you need for Downwell on
yes.
the... And Downwell has gone down very well with critics.
It has.
Everywhere, and it's very simple, isn't it?
I must say, I think we are late to the party on Downwell. I remember hearing about this game, God.
It's a downward-scrolling shooter.
It is, almost about a year ago now. But check it out. You have a mobile phone, I presume, dear listeners, because you've subscribed to this via some podcasting service. But, I mean, it is available wherever games are sold. It's on Steam. It's on PSN Store. Is it on Xbox One?
I don't know if it is.
But
it's Devolver who are publishing it.
Yes.
And I think they only publish... for Sony
maybe
consoles?
I'm not sure. I'm actually hoping they will do a limited run of this from Limited Run Games. I wouldn't mind a physical copy of Downwell.
I'm fine. If they release physical copy, they've got to release some sort of nice artwork, nice extra incentives in the box and things like that, because it's got a nice visual style. It's Spectrum-esque, I suppose you could say, about the game. There's not a lot. There's two colors,
definitely Spectrum-esque.
You can, as you play through the game, you can unlock different colours. It's red and white to begin with. You can get green. You can get all sorts of colours.
Yes.
And different animations for the main character, who's kind of nondescript. He's sort of like a ghost. It's about Mr. Soft, you know.
Mr. Soft?
The Soft Mints mascot.
I cannot. Oh, yes. No, I do remember Mr. Yeah. Soft because you've shown me this advert.
It looks like
yes.
a Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Without the chef's hat or yes. the wooden spoon or the scarf around his neck.
No.
But it's really good. I mean, I describe it as a downward scrolling shooter, but it's sort of like a platform game as well, because when you fire, that keeps you up, afloat, basically. And what's also really cool is the power-ups you can get. For example, when you've only got so many bullets, so you've really got to work out when to fire and when not to fire. There's power-ups which will, if you run out of bullets, will give you little jet boosters on your feet to keep you afloat as well. That's one example of some of the cool power-ups you can get. You collect gems as you go down. Some power-ups give you turn gems into ammo, which is refills your ammo. But alternatively, you can spend the gems in a shop where you can get health upgrades, because you only have 4 bars of health. It's a very fast-paced game. It's made for quick playthroughs. It's also roguelike, in inverted commas, because every time you turn it on, it randomly creates a different variation on the level.
And when you die, you die.
And when you die, you die, and you start again. But every 3,000 gems you get a little extra bonus gift. So you always get something from repeat plays, even if you don't progress very far.
Yeah, you do. There's 5 zones and then a boss at the end, which I've actually seen someone clear down well. Essentially, the way to play that game seems to be to try and fall as much as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
you don't
without landing.
It's very satisfying to shoot at stuff.
Yes.
But you can just fall and dodge things if you need to.
It's pretty much the way to go, though, because you build up combo. Mm. You build up point multipliers by dropping without hitting anything. Mm. And there are some things you can get, like some of the power-ups you get at the end of the stages, like you were saying, that are an extra rocket pack. So once you've run out of bullets,
yes,
you can still
right.
glide. There's one I just unlocked that when I landed on an enemy, it would send out a blast from my feet that would kill the enemy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variety in what you
also,
do
also, empty shells when you shoot your shotgun, for example, can
yeah.
kill enemies.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's another upgrade. There's a lot of variations and spins that you can put on the basic game.
There is, and I mean, some weapons are better than others. The laser's fucking terrible. Mm. I can't use it. Mm. Both times I got it in that playthrough just then,
I
died.
I can't remember the laser. The shotgun
just fires
was
a massive
good.
Beam. There's yeah. a machine gun, which is obviously a very fast version of the original gun. There's a 3-burst gun. Mm. There was a shotgun, and I just couldn't use the laser. It's just one long beam, but it ran out very quickly.
But it's very affordable.
It is 37 kroner to Danes, so I guess about £4 on the British store.
It's £4 on PlayStation Store. It's
yeah.
just under that on Android. I don't know. It's probably
the
same on iOS.
I believe it's very cheap on iOS. I thought yeah. it was around the pound mark.
I think Danish. I bought mine through the Danish Android Google Play Store, and that was about 227 kroner.
I will tell you how much it is
like
currently
that.
Retailing for on
so
iTunes.
It's about £3. I got it for. Well worth
yeah,
the money.
25 kroner.
Yeah, well so worth yeah, the money. Great for traveling, quick game on the go. As is Pang. If you want to pick that up, it's available on the handheld devices too.
Yes.
So great. I'm going on a plane journey this week. So
are you going on a plane?
Yes. I'm going back to the UK this coming weekend.
Oh, really?
So I'm afraid I won't be able to podcast.
Oh, that's good, because I will be in Rome doing as the Romans do, slaughtering savages, I guess, if anything to go by. Actually, no, that's bad, because then they'll be killing British people, which is me. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yes, protect yourself in Rome.
I will try by doing powerful kills. When anyone flashes, I'll be sure to head
stomp. Lots of flashes in Rome, watch out.
I bet there's a lot of flashing in Rome.
Fantastic. That was news to me. I didn't know you're going to Rome.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
I'm going on a romantic weekend
oh,
away.
How lovely. I'm going with work to London for a meeting, and then straight on from there to the Download Festival.
To the Download Festival? Are you going to see the Heck?
Might see Heck. I don't know if they're on that day, but I'm definitely seeing Sabbath, and that's why
yeah,
I'm going.
Fair enough.
Can't miss out on the opportunity to see possibly the last gig they ever do in the UK.
Wow, really?
It's the last. Well, it's the only tour date in the UK on their final tour. So,
okay.
Unless they've added some more since our last.
I'm not too sure. that. Yeah,
but it's quite the event.
Seems like a reason to go. Actually, I want to check something, which may be some very sad news for some of the listeners. But I'll do that in the background while you're.
Oh, okay. I saw Warcraft.
Yeah, how
was
that?
I think that's very significant, of course. I liked it. I'm not someone who's so familiar with the world of Warcraft.
Yeah.
But I did happen to rather enjoy the film. And I know it's come under quite a lot of backlash from critics, but I think popular opinion of the film amongst those who've seen it who aren't film critics has been that they've enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
I think you've got to look past a couple of things which come off as a bit video game movie-like. The orcs themselves are the strongest aspect of the film. For one, they are incredibly realistic and human in their eyes. You know,
yes.
It's not often you get such emotive computer-generated characters. And that's a testament to the actors' performances and the skill of those who have created these 3D models of these creatures.
Yes.
Action is very kinetic, very exciting, but also drama and feeling in these characters is very strong.
Yes.
The human bits don't come off as well, I don't think, in the film. The film jumps a lot from human to orc, and the two sides of the story, basically.
Yeah.
The orcs want to come to the human world because basically their world is dying.
Yes, and anyone who's played Warcraft or World of Warcraft will know this.
Yeah, and they're led by quite a power-hungry, mad orc who's been consumed by this thing called the Fel.
Yes.
Which, I won't spoil the film, but... The Fel plays a major part in the film and the events and the eventual outcome of the film. So, yeah, I like the performances as well. The lead human actor, I think he's also in the series Vikings. He's perfect in that kind of warrior role. You've got a couple of magical people. You've got like a rookie wizard.
Yeah.
Who's kind of the comedy foil of the film. And then you've got an older wizard who's quite important to the plot, who's on the side of the humans.
Yeah.
You see, I can understand the film. I've heard some criticism of it that it's you can't get the film if you don't know the games.
No, I hear that there's a lot of depth to it. It goes very high fantasy and it keeps trying to paste details
on
top.
But that statement...
Yeah.
That you can't appreciate, understand what's happening if you haven't played the games is utter rubbish.
I think this is just a it kind of, almost like a trope at this stage of media review, isn't
it? It's a very simple story. And for those not familiar with Warcraft, of course you're going to miss out on some of the smaller things.
Yes.
The criticism is it throws you right in there and doesn't explain any of the history of the world. You don't need to know it, to
be honest.
No,
but I mean, if they would have done that, then they would complain there's too much supposition. Like
it's
too much context.
It's rather fast-moving. It's a criticism. It could be jarring for some that it's jumping so quickly from event to event, especially at the beginning. It's by no means a perfect film, but it's in a way, it's got a few classic feelings of classic fantasy movies as opposed to more modern ones.
Yeah, I've heard it compared to Willow, actually.
There's a baby.
Yeah.
Like Moses on a river.
I mean, in terms of even like tonally, like of how much exposition there is on everything and how the flow of the story kind of goes.
It's like Willow for a CG generation.
Yeah, this is what I've kind of heard.
I suppose. That it's quite a simple story when it comes down to it. It's a lot about family. It's very true. It's about the families, the human families and the orc families. And what I really liked about it was the within the orc camp, you've got friction. You've got different factions.
Yes.
It's not so black and white at all because you've got some orcs who don't believe in their leader.
Yeah.
But the other orcs who know this are scared of him. And it's very deep. And I'm looking forward to seeing actually how the film... the series unfolds because it's got that it's great as a beginning film.
Yeah,
creates the intrigue into the world and what's going to happen next. I can draw parallels with Planet of the Apes as well because you've got humans and another race trying to live together in harmony but not being able to succeed, and it's just a constant battle to create peace.
Yeah. Okay.
Now there you go. That's so what I'd say about
it. I have a text message review of the movie from a colleague, Chris, who is a huge fan of both cinema and Warcraft.
Oh, yes.
He used to be a guild
master. I'd be
interested
to hear what he has to say.
I said, how was Warcraft?
Yeah,
to which he responded, it's okay. The orcs are amazing.
Yeah.
The humans, not so much.
Yes.
Lots of references to the game. One thing annoyed me was the cleanness of the humans clashed with the gritty look of the orcs.
Okay.
Made them look a bit cheap. Should have taken a page from Lucas/Jackson's book and made their uniforms and weapons look more used.
Ah.
Or just made it an animated movie entirely.
That's the jarring thing. Jumping between such believable performances from the orcs, and not all the human performances are as interesting and exciting to watch as the orcs for some reason.
Yeah.
The orc story is a lot more interesting. The human story is there, but it's got no... It's got less weight to it. I won't say it's got no weight to it, but it's got less weight to it than the orc story.
Okay. Interesting.
And some of the human special effects look like, to me, remind me of Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
They're the moments that made me think video game movie adaption.
Yeah.
Because it's very bright, the colours, it's got people with glowing eyes and lightning, and it's fun. I mean, it's fine. But
yeah.
It's the grittiness of the orcs and the realism and the believability of that world that's created with them.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite translate, as Chris says, over to the humans.
That's a shame,
as
though.
Well.
I'm still looking forward to seeing it, however.
Yeah, but it's the relationship between humans and orcs, which is kind of the important thing, or will be, in the following sequels. So,
I hope it has them, though, because from what I've seen, not a lot of people are interested in seeing it. I don't know how it's doing financially. I'll check Rotten Tomatoes, but...
Well, everyone that I know who's seen the film enjoyed it. I saw it with two other friends who liked it. They walked out saying, don't know why... People hate it. Don't know why it's had this backlash against it.
Yeah. It isn't out in the States yet, from the looks of things. It isn't in the movies opening this weekend section of Rotten Tomatoes. It's
I think
coming to theatres soon.
You've got to let yourself go with this movie.
Yeah.
If you go in there, it's a video game movie. Ooh.
I think that's half the battle, though. You know what I mean? Like, I think... Even if that Hardcore Henry or whatever that movie, that first person shooter movie was called, even if that was good, I don't think...
Is it not good?
I've heard mixed things. Okay. I've heard it's kind of, it's the sum of its parts. It is just that YouTube video that was going around that it's based off of. It is that times an
that
hour and a half. So
Warcraft comes in at about 2 hours. So.
Yeah.
It's not a film that actually zips along.
No.
I have to say. Yeah.
Yeah, but pacing is generally an issue for most fantasy films, isn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah. Okay, I want to see it. I'll speak to it once I've seen it.
I'll be interested to hear your opinion. It's mostly good.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Sometimes great.
I don't really know if I've confessed to my love of World of Warcraft on this podcast. I don't play it anymore. I haven't for a long time, but I genuinely very much like that universe and the lore surrounding it. I played WoW for many, many hours. And... So I'm looking forward to seeing it. But yeah, generally, from people I used to play Warcraft with who all saw it opening day, would just be like, ah, it's all right. And if those people, who I know have spent almost a fucking year of their life playing the game, because you can type /played, and I remember one of them bragging he had 365 days, then I'm just like, ah, okay. Maybe if it's not going to catch with these people, then I don't know what chance
it has.
It
works as a film, I guess, because the story is very filmable.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
I
mean, you know, they've had years and years to expand upon this lore, and it keeps very well written.
You say the story of Super Mario Brothers isn't something that you could really film.
No, exactly.
And yeah, that takes a different angle and approach to... interpreting its source material, whereas Warcraft is very true to its source material.
Yeah, okay.
And this is where most video game movies tend to fail.
They do.
They don't adhere to the rules created from the game.
Still very curious to see how Assassin's Creed is when that actually hits cinemas.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender looks bored in those trailers, and that's not a good fucking sign. But don't worry, Tom, because Jake Gyllenhaal is attached to a potential Division movie.
I've heard that.
So, dark, gritty Division movie coming for you, because they own the rights to the name Tom Clancy. So you can't make, like, Tom Clancy's Sum of All Fears or Tom Clancy's whatever anymore, because they own the name Tom Clancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bit weird, but hey. So, yeah, look forward to seeing that one in the future.
Maybe more video game movies on the horizon. Yeehaw. Destiny, for example, could potentially make a good movie.
Yeah, because that's got such a great story. Well, it's so overwhelmingly brilliant. Oh, yes, man, I love the story of Destiny. It's
hasn't got a super story.
Doom's got more of a story than Destiny, man. Like,
but the world and the potential to tell a good story in that world is there.
Yes, I will agree with that.
It's not something that playing the game really delivers. Maybe The Taken King will be a little bit better than the original.
But you know what I mean? Like, I think that game, if it had been better, if it had just gone, okay, we're going to be a loop shooter and do this, this, and this, I think it would have held my attention a lot more. Like, it's fun to play, but Overwatch doesn't have a story, and I don't care it doesn't have a story.
Mm.
Whereas with Destiny, it really bugged me that it didn't.
Well, it's trying to give you a purpose for doing what you're doing within the game.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a very simple, your guardians protecting the Earth
from guess
evil.
All you really need to know in Overwatch is shoot that person, cool. You don't really get to think about it for too long anyway, because the matches are only like 10 minutes long. Mm. Yeah, I suppose so.
But yeah, have you picked up anything else this week?
I have not, surprisingly. Actually, I did buy one or two games from Blue City because I went in there.
Oh, you did, did you?
And
Blue City being our favourite Danish drop-in. Yeah.
Well, no, they had they had Hugo for the Game Boy Color, which they've had for weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't realise
that... Unboxed?
Unboxed. It was 50 krona, but average eBay price for it is about 15 quid. And it was...
We are in Denmark, though.
But
Hugo
it was,
is probably more popular here.
I would assume so, but I couldn't even find a listing of it when I looked a couple of weeks ago. And it was called on Retro Collect Hugo and the Curse of the Black Mirror or something like that. And so I was like, okay, well, I could find the Game Boy Advance game, I could find the PlayStation game, I couldn't find the Game Boy Color one.
Yeah.
And so I kept looking, I kept looking, I kept looking. I realised it was just the traditional like grey Hugo popping out of a thing background, even though it's this super serious title, which I guess is on the side of the box or somewhere. But they had it in Blue City, and I was like, okay, cool, I'll pick that up.
And have you played it? Or?
I haven't yet. I haven't given it a go.
Is it a platform game?
I would assume it's a platform game.
So there's no language barrier, because I imagine it's probably Danish.
It's a European cart. A lot of Game Boy Color games didn't differentiate. They had a bit more memory to play with than Game Boy Original.
Ah, fair enough.
So it's probably European. I also picked up that Lucky Luke game they had for the Game Boy Advance. Not great. That one I did play, and I picked up...
Of Lucky Luke.
Yeah, I picked up a Power Rangers Wild Force game as well, because I've been playing a little bit of the Power Rangers game for the Game Boy and quite enjoyed it. It's just a side-scrolling beat-em-up. Mm. But I haven't played Wild Force yet, so I'll let you know how that is. Oh, I bet you're riveted.
I am. I'm intrigued. I picked a couple of things. So mostly downloads. I've already mentioned Pang and Damwell. I also picked up Back to Bed, which looks like a... It's described as a Monument Valley-esque puzzle game.
Yes.
But I really like the approach, the style of it, the surrealness of the game. Look forward to giving that a go. I also picked up another Game Gear. I'll tell you how this came about.
Interesting.
I was looking for a Game Gear case. I found an eBay listing, a case, Game Gear. Did I say Game Boy?
You said Game Gear. Okay. No, you're fine. Yeah. You're on the right path.
Game Gear case, Game Gear, and three games.
Okay.
I got it for about 25 quid.
That's all right.
Box
games or?
Oh, no, just loose games.
What were they?
You got a golf game, Desert Strike, and 3-in-1 football columns. Hang on, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah,
or tennis. I can't remember.
I know the
was
one.
It tennis,
I think. I think so.
So I was very happy with that. It's in good condition. Which is fantastic. It's been sold as working completely.
That's good.
So, if I manage to fix my other Game Gear, then I'll have two working Game Gears. But it actually makes me more... it makes me want to fix the other Game Gear more now, because I feel like if I do mess it up, I've got a backup Game Gear.
Oh, fair enough.
You know, I was a little bit apprehensive about going for... the fix on my Game Gear if I was to mess it, but now I'm just gonna go for it and see.
Give it a go, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but the case is nice. You've got a little space for games, a pocket in the front. Yeah. It says Game Gear on it, Sega. It's kind of cool.
That's good. I did pick up a Famicom, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
what,
an original Famicom. One of the Retro Collect admins, Jake Smith, he's on many things, also a huge Game Boy fan. He essentially does a lot of Game Boy backlight mods and does a lot of AV out repair for old Famicoms, and he'd taken this one and he'd given it a retro bright, so it looked white and shiny, and there was no jail bars or anything. Like, he'd made sure the AV output, he said, it's probably the best he's ever done, and it looks crystal clear. And I was like, well, you know, like, there are a few Famicom games I do want. I would like to play the Parasol Hemby game, I would like to play Kid Dracula and a few others. And yeah, he was selling it for 50. So I was like, okay, cool, I'll take that. I've got one or two Famiclones here. I got a shitload of, like, Famicom, like, 24-in-1 carts that I've been meaning to try out. So I thought, well, yeah, why not? He also had a DMG Yellow that is actually a legitimate one, and I know he's in a reshell, and yeah, it's waiting for me in the UK now, so I'll... can't wait to get my hands on those.
Is that you finished your collection of different
I have all of the original Game Boys that were now released at retail in terms of colour variations. Obviously, there are some rare Game Boys now, like a Planet Hollywood one, which is only sold in Planet Hollywood.
But it's like
400 quid for DMG with a fucking, like, stamp on it. I'm like, yeah. I don't care that much. If one comes up at a reasonable price, like if I find one on eBay for like
reasonable.
40 quid, then I'll get it, but otherwise no. I'm still kicking myself I didn't buy that. Remember, I saw a Wario one. It was a prize on the UK television program Ghost Train on the BBC.
Okay,
you don't remember that show? No. When we were kids. I think Ainsley Harriet, not Ainsley Harriet, but
Dave Benson Phillips
presented it. Well, why did I think Ainsley Harriet was a kids presenter? I guess my childhood has blurred.
Well, he looks
into
similar
one.
To Dave Benson Phillips, so I understand.
Dave Benson Phillips.
They're both bald.
Anyway, there was a when on Ghost Train. Yeah, it is Dave Benson Phillips. On Ghost Train, they gave away sometimes Game Boys as prizes, and they were special ones. They were painted black, literally hand painted black, with a hand painted Wario on them in the center. There was also a giveaway for are they called the Fabulous Baker Boys, the people that do the muffins and stuff? Yeah. In the UK.
Yeah,
they also gave away some Game Boys, and they were painted pink and had Kirby hand painted on them.
Who was hand painting these?
I don't know, but they're officially recognized as official Nintendo products. Yeah. So it must be someone Nintendo hired to do it. And one of them came up for auction not this year, but last year, just before we got paid £300, and I was like, shit, I really want that, and it went very soon. But there's only like 5 or 10 of them known to be in existence, and I was like, ah, shit, I really wanted that, I should have got it. But even in hindsight, I'm like, nah, 300 quid for a Game Boy is a bit much, especially when it was just one that would sit on a shelf. It would look nice, but there's stuff I would rather spend my money on. But oh well. That's how it goes, Tom.
I
haven't bought anything else. That's me. I'm waiting to actually go to Rome and hopefully see if I can find some retro games while I'm there.
Mm-hmm. Super dude. I think I didn't mention this, but I picked up the BlazBlue for the PS4.
Yeah?
Or BlazBlue.
Yeah.
Is it BlazBlue?
I think it's Blaz. Maybe Blaze. I don't
think
know.
It sounds cooler if it is Blaze. It's just not got the E.
Yeah.
It's there's another one coming out, I heard, after I purchased this one. But, yeah, happy to have one of them for PS4. Yeah. I like fighting games.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Oh, fighting games.
I played a bit of Tekken Tag the other week as well. You know, I just dipping in and out of them.
Yeah.
I was actually looking on how many trophies I had for certain games, and I saw I had a few on that, and I thought, oh, well, there's a few more I can definitely get, and a nice excuse to play a bit of Tekken.
Yeah.
I'm still not very good at Tekken.
No, I've never been good at Tekken.
I can sort of hold my own, but I'm. I always find the last couple of fights in the arcade mode to be a little bit on the unfair side. When you're fighting, what's his doodah name? The one Ogre.
Yeah.
True Ogre on Tekken Tag 2. I find the only way I can beat him is just to be cheap. you know, yeah. repeat the same move as soon as he gets back up again to kick him to the ground. And,
Thomas.
Yeah, I don't like it when they're so frustrating that you end up resorting to cheap tactics to beat them.
Yeah.
I like a good, you know, consistent level of difficulty. Like a game Soul Calibur is a great example of that, but in 2D fighters, there's a lot of them tend to have. Nitro Plus Blasters is pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a hard but fair fight at the end.
Yeah. I need to play through that a few times, I think. Mm. It's still sitting there waiting to be played. I really enjoy that game.
Yeah. I was on Amazon the other day and I was noticing it's got a fairly negative review.
Yeah, which is weird.
Low score, and I can't understand anybody who appreciates that genre rating that so low.
Yeah, me neither.
Because it's one of the best 2D fighters I've played in a long, long time.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Can't please everybody, can you?
You cannot, Tom, unfortunately.
Mm.
Oh, well. That's how it goes.
And yes, that's me. I haven't got any more. That's my week in gaming, Matthew.
Your week in gaming? Has
how about
it been
that?
It sounds like it's been a good one, though. It's all right.
It has. It has indeed. Destiny was down on Thursday, so we ended up playing Black Ops
Destiny's
2,
always down, Tom.
Nothing wrong with that. I still enjoy myself a little bit of Black Ops. There's
some
a nice
lops.
User base on Wii U still.
Yeah.
1,000 people playing it.
Ooh la la. Just realised something, Tom. By the time we come back to podcast now, because you're away the weekend, I'm away the weekend, E3 will happen by the next time we podcast.
Seriously, when's E3?
E3 is not next week, but the week after. Starts next Sunday and then goes on until...
So E3
Wednesday.
Will have happened, so
E3
we'll
have
plenty to talk about.
We will, yeah. Any predictions for E3?
They'll
I guess
probably
we should wrap it up
on. Show Red Dead 2, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's apparently a thing.
Yeah, I've heard that's a thing
leaked.
For years.
Yeah, now there's actually a map.
Okay, interesting.
That's somehow out there, unless it's fake, I don't know.
Maybe it is.
But I saw a video of them kind of thinking, what could happen? And it could be set before Red Dead Redemption.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
See why John Marshall needed a pardon.
Mm.
I'd be good with that. I don't know. I'm not sure. I hope to see more of Final Fantasy VII. And I hope for some more insight into that. Some progress on Shenmue might be nice.
Oh, as we mentioned last
week.
New Time Splitters game.
New
I'd
Time Splitters
that.
Game. I would like the announcement maybe of... some more Vita stuff, but I doubt that's going to happen. Even Sony themselves are seeing it as a legacy format.
Let's see a release date for Tekken 7, because we haven't got one. Let's see a new Soul Calibur while they're at it.
I'd
be very happy for that.
I just want some surprises, to be honest. Like, there's nothing really that I'm like, oh man, I hope that's at E3 this year. I just kind of want to be surprised. Especially as Nintendo aren't really bringing anything, so it's like, I can't go, oh man, I can't wait to see the NX, or wow, I can't wait to see what new games are from Nintendo, because they're only bringing Zelda.
What's the couple of the Xbox One exclusives? Maybe we'll see more of them. What's the Recore?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see the PS4 Horizon Dawn?
Yeah, I wouldn't
maybe
mind
see
seeing
a bit
more Horizon
more of
Dawn.
That. There's certainly a lot of games we'll see a bit more of.
Rare's pirate game, as we mentioned last week, I wouldn't mind seeing as well. Also, maybe something new from them, like
Rare.
Yeah, but also like Bethesda have still got their own conference. So I'm curious to see what they could fill a conference with. I would be glad if they announced Doom 2, as we were talking about, or maybe even
too
Quake.
Too soon, don't you think?
No, I don't think so. Maybe, you never know. I imagine they'll do Quake. Quake, this seems like it's the natural next step, as they've already done Wolfenstein and Doom.
Yeah, but how different is Quake? I mean, I know it's different from Doom.
Yeah.
It's like medieval, isn't it?
It's like Norse mythology and stuff.
The original Quake, not Quake 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Quake 2 is too much like Doom, isn't it?
It is a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, we'll wait and see on that. I don't know what else to. I do want to be surprised.
Well, I mean, there's talk of new consoles as well, isn't there? Of upgraded PS4 and upgraded
Xbox
One.
Well, that's the thing for the Xbox One Scorpio and
and the Neo for the PlayStation.
Is it the Neo? Yeah. And these are going to have slightly bigger processors. Is that right?
Yeah.
Apparently, it's going to close a gap between the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Apparently, but then the Scorpio is apparently supposed to be much more powerful than the Neo. So
I don't know if I like this idea, and as long as they don't start releasing exclusive games for the upgraded consoles, I'm fine with it. But
because it goes so well. I mean, look at Xenoblade Chronicles. Everybody rushed out to get a
new 3DS
to get play that game.
I appreciate the advantages of the new 3DS. And I suppose for new buyers who are going into this, then great, they can get the new system.
Yeah,
but as long
true.
As those ones who own the older systems don't feel like we're missing out.
Yeah, I don't want to feel screwed is essentially my thing, and I'm afraid I'm going to. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing some old PlayStation VR stuff as well, because I've got that on pre-order, and I want to actually see what's going on with it.
But developers will develop for the core system as opposed to the more powerful system, I
hope. Apparently, the rumour said that every game that ships after September should be able to run better on the Neo, but they can't do things that only work on the Neo. It just has to let it take advantage of that, but that's a discussion for another time. Yeah, okay, cool.
You know what they'll look like? Are they going to take the advantage to make them smaller?
Apparently the Xbox, the new one, will be smaller.
Well, that is pretty damn big.
Yeah, well, Xbox. I mean, it's probably going to take all the TV stuff out, right? Like, that is a must, like that.
Yeah, will you lose anything? I don't know, because if they're going for 4K, then they want to keep in some of the other things.
But I think maybe they'll take out the Kinect port. I think that ship has sailed.
Have they killed
this point.
Kinect? Oh, well,
I think
we'll find
so.
Out.
Okay, cool. Well, we shall see. We will know by the next time we podcast.
Yes,
it won't be a mystery anymore.
So we'll leave you to enjoy E3. We'll come back with our thoughts in a couple of weeks on that.
Let us know.
Enjoy the nice weather if you're having some, as we are.
Yep.
Take the opportunity to get outside and enjoy. But when it gets too hot, don't be afraid to retreat in and spend a little bit of time playing a few video games with a nice fan.
With a good old fan, as we started off.
We've come full circle.
We have. If you like the podcast, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/TomandMattAttack. You can find us on Twitter at TMAcast. And you can also find the podcast for your listening pleasure on blastprocess.com, TomandMattAttack.com/podcast. As well as on iTunes, where if you haven't already, you should give us a cheeky rate and subscribe.
We always appreciate that.
We do.
We will announce our winners for the competition maybe next time then?
Yes.
I just remembered that.
Did you not check to see
I haven't
if...
checked.
Yeah. Okay, well, you have an extra 2 weeks to enter that then. Maybe we'll pull it a bit sooner than that. But if that
happens... And announce
happens,
the winners, but it's better, to, I guess, to announce them here or...
Yeah, I guess so. We'll sort it out. Don't worry.
We'll sort it out. We haven't forgotten. I don't think we've had many entries for a competition.
No, I don't think so. So
please,
the chances of winning are high. I mean, yeah, it seems like a very good game. There's a preview a bit up on blastprocess.com.
Yes,
there's
a let's play of the game. Yeah,
give it a
check
go.
Check it out. Right, jump on our Twitter and answer our questions.
It's literally asking you what is the episode name of episode 84. It's not that hard. All
yeah, just
to
jump
do.
Onto TomMatter.com and you've got the answer.
Exactly.
Right, okay, cool. Thanks again. And until we meet again,
game on.
Game on.